Great is the Lord again today, and greatly to be praised. Let us magnify the Lord together. Isn't he wonderful? Aren't you glad of this great truth, this great message? Amen. We have something to tell about, don't we? Thank the Lord. Just remain standing. I'll get right into the word of the Lord here. I know the time schedule, so don't anybody worry about that. I'm aware of the 4 o'clock due date. And I heard one time or thought it or read it or something that if you don't, after you start drilling, if you don't hit oil about 30 minutes, you better quit boring. So I'll try to drill a while and see if we can strike oil. Praise God. I appreciate this opportunity to preach to you for a little while this afternoon. Very important subject, very important meeting. This meeting today could mean the means of many, many souls being reached and touched for the coming of the Lord, preparing for the rapture. The book of Romans, the first chapter. Let us read the 14th through the 16th verses of Romans 1. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Why? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I want to preach to you just for a short while today from the very first phrase of the verse 14, I am debtor. Shake hands with somebody and say, I'm in debt. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Great words that we've heard from these missionaries today and all of these directors. We give honor to them, Brother Smith, Brother Carroll, a former director, Brother R.B. Bingham, another former foreign missions director. We appreciate their service over the years. I am not necessarily concerned so much about verse 15 and 16 in this message, at least today. But I think for most of us, we can relate to being a debtor. Most of us know what it means to be in debt. How many has ever been in debt? I didn't say are in debt, but been in debt. You know the feeling of being in debt. I heard of a preacher, a good friend of mine, said, I can't even sleep good if I don't owe somebody. He's been so used to being in debt. Probably 85% of us that's sitting in this building today are in debt. I'm talking about monetarily in debt. But for 100% of us today, we are all in debt to this world. We have a job to do, and many of us know what it means to borrow from one to pay the other. Refinance and never get paid off. The word debtor in the Greek means ophelites, or that is the name of it, meaning one under an obligation or bound to some duty. The same word is mentioned in Matthew 18:24, where it talks about forgiveness when the man owed him 10,000 talents. He was under obligation. He was bound to that duty. We are today under obligation to reach this world. We don't have much time, as I say, to do it, but I believe we've got the weapons and we've got the material, we've got the power to be able to do the job. God would not have put upon us the responsibility of reaching our world had he not given us the ammunition, the spirit, everything else behind it, to get the work done. And we do owe the world this message. I hope today before we leave, we can feel the responsibility of our debt to the world. You know, to some people, being in debt means nothing. They just assume it doesn't matter just as long as they're paying. Really? And to some of us saints of God, it looks like sometimes, as far as this message is concerned, especially when the foreign missionary plates passed around, we don't care if we get our debt paid or not. But I believe we're going to leave here with a different vision and outreach. Hallelujah. I understand that the national debt, some few months ago at least, was something like $2,575,800,000,000. I don't even know how to count that far. I can't even comprehend that. If there are 103 million taxpayers, if we all had to divide that among ourselves, we would owe something like $25,000 apiece to pay that off. Each child reared in the United States or born in the United States is born with a debt of something like $9,000 to $10,000. Can you imagine bringing a child into this world in debt? $10,000. That's what's happening. That concerns me, all right. And I thought one time, if I'm obligated to my country and I'm in debt, I maybe ought to go borrow $40,000 and pay my debt off. But, I'm not going to. And I doubt if many of you do. That does concern me, but that does not concern me like the debt and the responsibility I have to reach those around me and across the waters. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not hesitant to preach. We're ready to preach. But we forget the parts that really should drive us to not be ashamed and to be ready. And that's our obligation, our indebtedness. I am debtor. There were two divisions of mankind mentioned here, the Greeks and the barbarians, or the wise and the unwise. The extent of this obligation is universal. All nations and races and classes and characters, Hebrews and heathens, Romans and Greeks, bond and free. We're obligated to them today. We're living in a lost world. You can pick up your own telephone book. I don't care if you live in a little town of 250 or 250,000 or 2 million. You can look in your telephone book and you just run up and down it and find out, see if you can find anybody that's saved. Come on, folks. If we believe this Acts 2:38 message like I think we believe it, we have a job to do. Population growing 5+ billion now, growing in U.S. alone. In 1 year, we had 3 million births and 2 million dying in 1 year. 3.7 million births and 2 million dying. Where did those 2 million go last year? Come on, friend. Whose responsibility is that? It's not the denominational world's responsibility. They don't have a message to carry. Come on. It's not the Trinity Pentecostal folks' obligation. It's mine and your indebtedness. For God's sake, can't we understand? The end is near and untold millions are yet untold. Population explosion. By the time that six abreast walked into the ocean and drowned, by that time that all six people abreast out of this world would walk into the ocean and drown, by that time China would be born again. We can't even pay the interest the way we're going now. Huh? Growing about 100 million annually. At the current rate, 20 to 25 years, the population will double in this world. I'm in a hurry, so if you'll just forgive me for jumping around here a little bit. But if there were 5 million saints to reach the world, 5 million, I don't know if that's a good figure or not. But if there were 5 million, I was calculating, I think, if we have 400 churches and an average of 50 a church, that would be what, 20,000? I think that's pretty realistic. But let's say there are 5 million saints baptized in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost believers, giving and reaching the lost. If there was 5 million saints to reach the world of 5 billion people, each one of us would have to reach 1,000 souls. How many of you reached last year? I'm saying we are in debt. I'm in debt to 1,000 people myself. Brother McCool, you are in debt to 1,000. If there's 5 million people, and every one of them would reach their due amount. We can't, it seems like, get caught up for getting further behind. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was what? Moved with compassion. Christ's favorite word to the world was, come. I'm simply here to tell you tonight, today, if we care, we're going to share. How can you say, I love the lost, without sharing with them? How can we say we really believe this message without doing our part to reach it? How can we really say we love souls if we don't do something about it? I think it's time for an inventory. It's time to do something about our indebtedness. And I said earlier, and realize it can be done. It must be done. With the affluency of America, I'm here to tell you today that where much is given, much shall be required. I said, where much is given, much shall be required. I don't feel like God expects us to be condemned when we have fun and pleasure and buy things that we enjoy if we first have given to Him and given to the kingdom of God. Come on. And done all we can for our indebtedness. I was taught a long time ago, son, if you owe something, work till you get it paid off. Isn't that right? Work till you get it paid off and stick with it. I'm telling you, we have got a job in the assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ to work till we get it paid off. And one of these days, there's going to be a resting place. Hallelujah. Some of the last words Jesus, the last few minutes before Jesus left here and ascended, the disciples were concerned about the restoring of the kingdom. And they asked, wilt thou again restore the kingdom? He said, it's not for you to know all these things, but, he said, he changed the whole scene on them. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you what? Shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. He's not concerned about material things and natural things, but he is concerned about reaching his world. That was his last words. Paul said to Timothy, you know my doctrine. You know my manner of life. You know my faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, 2 Timothy 3:10, persecution, affliction, purpose. You know, we pretty well know each other's doctrine. You can just about tell what the other preacher across town or in the other state believes, whether he's wine or grape juice. Right? Whether he believes it's pre, mid, or post. Talking about rapture. You pretty well know his doctrine. Right? And Paul said, you know my manner of life. We pretty well know if they've got 3 bedrooms, swimming pool. They drive a Lincoln, a Cadillac, a Ford, a Chevrolet. We know those things, don't we? We know if he's a faith preacher or not. You know my faith. You know he's suffered long. You know his charity. You know about how much he gives. We can look in the Apostolic Witness and find that out. You know if he's got much patience with each other. We know about afflictions and persecutions, but Paul said, you know my what? Purpose. What is our real purpose? Is our real purpose just to come have a good time and enjoy church together? Sure, we'd like to do that, but our purpose is to reach our world. Do we really know our purpose? It was Ezra that mentioned that the enemy had frustrated the purpose. Oh God, how can the enemy, how can Satan get our minds off of the real purpose that we're saved for and the real purpose we're here? It would have been a whole lot better for a lot of people if they had gone on to meet the Lord when they were baptized and got the Holy Ghost, but he had left them there for a reason, for a purpose. It was Samuel that wrote about Hannah when she said, out of the abundance of my complaints and grief, there's not but one thing that I'm complaining about, and that's I want a child. If we as men of God, as leaders, as pastors, as church folks, could forget about complaining about everything else and complain about one thing, then our purpose would get accomplished. All I care about is souls. That really matters. That's the only thing that really counts. We are left in this world for such a time as this that we can deliver them out. This is a day of good tidings, she said. This is a day of good tidings. She said, all the food, the drink, the gold and silver, but we still hold our peace. We don't do well. We don't do well with many things if we can't deliver our world. Hallelujah. Why stand ye in the marketplace, what? Idle. I think it's the time that we get a second touch from the hand of the Lord. It was the blind man that came to Jesus. And when he got the first touch, he could see men as what? Trees. And we got the first touch of the Holy Ghost. Talking in tongues, but maybe we need a second touch today. Somehow if we could stir our churches to go back to the Master again and say, touch me one more time. Maybe we wouldn't see them as just men out there walking around, but we could see every man, woman, boy, and girl as a soul that's got an eternity somewhere. Telling you we're in debt. God help us to walk in wisdom before those that are without what? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What are you saying? I'm saying the word redeem means to buy back. We have to buy back time. What's been lost over 2,000 years in our unconcernedness maybe, over 2,000 years, we've got to redeem it and buy it back somehow in just a few months maybe, a few days, maybe a few hours. God help us someday to be pure from the blood of all men. Somehow, if we can pay our debt, we can be pure from the blood of all men. At the judgment, how shall we stand before God? If he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, then what? We're going to have to do well. I want to tell you something. Money that's given to missions will not be given probably to anything else. You're not going to hurt your church giving to missions. I said, you're not going to hurt your church giving to missions. You're not going to hurt your church giving to anything that's right. Huh? Hallelujah. These missionaries on the foreign fields are depending on us. I think sometimes we can get all stirred up and we can get all interested when we see them for a conference like this. So they come through our churches and we raise a big offering. And that's well and good and we ought to do that. But oh, the virtue of consistency. When we don't see them for 6 or 8 months, we can't afford to forget them on first Sunday. They're dependent on us. They can't travel. They can't go. They can't carry literature to somebody. Without us, They're dependent on us. They have no other means. We're in debt to them. There are missionaries out there today that we can't see that's dependent on this conference. They're dependent on this message. They're depending on you, pastors. Let me tell you something, preachers. If you want to have a giving church, you're going to have to be a giving pastor. Don't tell me that your church won't give. The reason your church won't give is because you don't get behind them and give them an opportunity to give. Don't give us the excuse that they're spending the money unwisely. We have a foreign missionary board that takes control of this. They watch these things from time to time. Some of you have been there. You know the money's spent well. One where they talk all that chow stuff or whatever. Oh, yes. But I watched them gather in 400 and 500, cramp into a narrow built building, walk to church, come on, ride bicycles to church. I don't watch them have to be pumped to pray and pumped to praise the Lord and pumped to sing. Come on. Hallelujah to God. I'm here to tell you they're depending on us. Only way they can do it is we send them out there. Hallelujah. Even so, send I you. So, I remember one night at conference over there, he's talking about 227 receiving the Holy Ghost this year. A deaf woman, I believe, received healing. And I remember one service. They just opened up the service. And 53 minutes, I believe it was, they sung and praised God. And the first song, 15 folks got the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me your dollar. You have to wonder about your dollars. These folks believe this message. They're not going to go over there and preach something that's not true. They represent us. They represent the Lord. It's time we give and give and give and give and give. Every first Sunday or whatever Sunday it is, you ought to give your saints a chance to give to God. You are hindering them from a blessing. I said, you're hindering them from a blessing. I'm sorry if I sound so forceful today, but I feel like we're in debt. It's time what's a shame about all of this thing, Brother McCool, is the ones that ought to hear it's not here. Why don't you go tell them we said it? Those that's interested in foreign missions are here. Probably you're already giving. I'm just telling you, don't quit giving. The debt hasn't been paid. It's like Brother Pitchin had a boy in his church one time. He can tell this story better than I can. But he, this young man, every Sunday would pay his tithes. Brother Upton, and this particular Sunday, this boy didn't pay his tithes. You have to know Brother Pitchin, he believes in this tithes business. And I do too, and you better. But he walked up to this boy, happened to be his nephew, I think. He said, Mike, how come you didn't pay your tithes? He said, well, Brother Pipkin, you didn't preach on it today. I'm simply telling you, we have to preach missions all the time. We have to preach winning the lost all the time. If you're going to have a praying church, you're going to have to preach praying all the time. If you're going to have a worshiping church, you got to preach worshiping all the time. Come on, friend. If you're going to have an outreach, you got to preach outreach all the time. It's a consistent thing. Let's give. Let's give. Let's give. Hallelujah. With 3,375,000,000 rooms in heaven, if you please, 1 cubit mile wide, long, and high, 3,375,000,000. I want to tell you something. God plans to fill every one of them. I said, God plans to fill every one of them. And He's not going to fill them unless we reach them. Let me tell you something. He can send a vision out there and show a man the message. He can do a lot of things to get man's attention, rather. But it takes a man to reach man. Hallelujah. I said it. God used men in Scripture to reach men. And if the world gets reached, we got to do it. Do we understand? I understand that there are, that most of the saints at the marriage supper of the Lamb will have lived and died during my lifetime. What is that telling us? Those before us couldn't have reached. Those after us can't reach. So we are in debt. I got a hold of something here a few months ago. It said out of the Baptist movement, there was one missionary for every 1,900 Baptist people. One missionary for every 1,900 Baptists. And I looked this up, and if there's 20,000 saints in the assemblies, if I've got it figured right, there would be one missionary for every 2,000 assembly saints. At 10 missionaries. Is that about right? That's close. One out of every 2,000. Brother Smith has got the right way to get missionaries, just like the Lord said, pray ye for laborers. The Mormons have one out of 92. They're putting us to shame. How are they doing it? Why are they doing it? They believe they've got a message to tell. Do we believe we've got a message to tell? You know what else? They expect their converts to participate. They don't expect them to sit on a pew. They expect them to get out there and knock doors. What else do? They train them. God give us a missionary training program like we've never had before. They lead them into the fields of labor. God help us. We can't all go. I understand that. Some give by going, but others go by giving. I may not can go, but I can give. You may not can go, but you can give. I urge you when you go back home, pastors, to set some goals in your churches. Go to your Sunday school director. Figure out how much missionary offering. Any other kind of offering you want to figure up. How much missionary offering is given by each class. Come on. And then give them some goals to reach. Without goals, they don't know where they're going. You're not going to go anywhere if you don't know where you're going. I was coming out of the school the other day, and this guy was walking down the road. I said, where are you going? He said, nowhere. I can't take him there. I'm telling you, if you'll go home and set some goals, your offerings will increase. I remember, and I don't like to use personal illustrations, but I remember when I was just a little boy, my daddy would lay out offering every Sunday morning. I started off with 25 cents. I promised, say a dollar, I think that's what it was, a dollar every month. And back in the 1920s, that was a lot of money. Seems that long sometimes. But a dollar. And you know what? God began to bless me. And I began to give $5 and $10. I don't know how much I give now, not enough. But I know one thing, I got a whole lot more than I started with. I don't know how many million I'm worth right now. Let me tell you something, I got access to heaven. Why? Because I've learned to pay tithes and offerings. And he said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you're not even able to receive. Come on, friend. God has promised to open up heaven when we learn how to give. And that's not all. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. In other words, He said, I'll stop up hell if you'll learn how to give. Hallelujah. Come on, friend. The greatest lesson you can teach your little boys and girls is to give. If you want to bring the curse on them, gripe and complain about giving. But if you want to bring the blessing on them, tell them there's a missionary over there in South America. Tell them there's a missionary over there in Taiwan. Get you one of those little school buses and have them pack it full. You're talking about receiving a blessing. I'm talking about sowing seeds in those boys and girls. It'll cause them to be maybe millionaires someday. They'll turn around and bless you. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Glory, 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 glory. When the burden dies, revival dies. I've got nothing hinders the burden. Nothing hinders the love. God help us to go. Paul said to the Corinthians to preach the gospel in regions beyond. When you think about putting back in your pocket what you thought about giving to missions, think about a missionary that same day. Think about his needs at the same time. When you think about what you'd like to have, think about what he'd like to have. You know something? I think I'm standing among people that know how to give. And I'm satisfied that for several of our churches here, you have not seen anybody baptized. But I just got a sneaking feeling while we're standing here today, some missionaries over there putting somebody down in an old creek. God is praying for somebody to get the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you gave last first Sunday. Huh? We may not be seeing somebody talk in tongues right now, but the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. They're begging us to help them. They're not wanting our money just for their own use and glory. But if they don't get our support, how can they preach unless they be sent? You might not can go, but you can send them. God bless you.